Surveillance was easy enough. Stay out of sight and watch. He'd done a lot of it in L.A., and the greatest enemy was boredom. Tonight, in the back bay, outside Jen's apartment, there was no boredom. He'd found space to park on a hydrant in view of her front door. And he sat in his car in the dark with a feeling of such complex intensity that he didn't understand it. He knew that he felt anticipation, and anger, and excitement, which was at least partly sexual. He also felt calmness, and curiosity, and hope, and guilt, and something like strength. People moved along the sidewalk past his parked car. There was money in the back bay, and the four-story brick townhouses along Beacon Street were full of young, well-dressed, good-looking men and women. It was evening, and many of them were coming home from dinner or movies or working late. Dogs were being walked, and elegantly dressed women in high heels were carrying plastic bags to clean up after them. Dog shit does not respect social status, Jesse thought. He looked at his watch. 9:30. If she'd left the station by 7 and gone to dinner with somebody, she'd be coming home now. Unless she was spending the night somewhere else. He took in some air and let it out slowly, with his lips pursed in a kind of silent whistle. He felt the comfortable weight of his gun near his right hip. If she were with another guy, he could kill him. He could feel the release it would bring him. He could imagine the near ejaculatory surge of relief he would get, and he rolled the thought around in his mind passionately. And then what? Now that I've croaked your boyfriend, honey, let's you and me get together. That wouldn't work. It would also get him jailed. Even police chiefs weren't permitted to kill people for dating their ex-wives. He could probably do it secretively and get away with it. But how many would he have to kill off? And mightn't Jen get a bit suspicious when her dates kept getting clipped? And how often could he get away with it? Cops normally look for the disgruntled lover when some men get killed that are dating the same women. He gave it up slowly, knowing he never really thought he could. So why was he here? He shrugged in the darkness. Better to know than not to know. Jen turned the corner at Dartmouth Street and walked down Beacon Street beside a short man. They were holding hands. Jesse knew Jen's walk in the dimness before he could recognize any feature. As they got closer, Jesse recognized the evening news anchor, Tony Salt. He was much shorter than he appeared on the tube, shorter than Jen. But he had a large head and a strong chin and deep masculine smile lines around his mouth. His walk seemed stilted, and Jesse realized that Tony Salt was teetering on high-heeled cowboy boots. Christ, in his bare feet, he can walk under bar stools, Jesse thought. They were walking close together, and their shoulders brushed often. Jen was talking in that brilliant, animated way she had when she seemed to put her whole self into whatever she was saying. Tony Salt was listening and nodding and laughing often. They walked past Jesse sitting in the darkness and turned into Jen's doorway. Jesse's concentration was so intense that he didn't realize he had drawn his gun until he clanked it gently against his steering wheel as he turned in the seat. He rested the gun on the back of the seat and, knowing he wouldn't shoot, he aimed it carefully at Tony Salt's back and sighted carefully at the spot between Tony Salt's shoulder blades that sat invitingly and looked a yard wide on top of the front sight. He held the aim as Jen fumbled for her keys at the door. Jen could never find her keys quickly, and when she did find them, she never recognized one key from another. So more time ensued while she tried several in the lock before she got the right one. Jesse had always found it endearing that she couldn't find her keys, and, indeed, often lost them. Goddesses had no time for keys. Tony Salt stood close to her while she worked on the keys. Jesse knew he was so close that their bodies would be touching every time either of them moved. Jesse could feel how shallow his breathing was. Given the intensity of his feeling, it was surprising that the gun hand was perfectly steady. He squinted a little. He knew it was too far and too dark, but it was as if he could see the weave in the back of Tony Salt's $1,000 jacket. Jen found the right key and the door opened. She turned and gave Tony Salt a light kiss and stepped through the door. He followed her. With the door still open, they stopped in the lighted hallway and turned the easy kiss into a long embrace, Jen slouching a little so that she wouldn't have to actually bend down to kiss Tony Salt. Jesse could see Tony Salt's hand move down to Jen's butt. He had on a big ring that caught the hall light and flashed like Elliot Kruger's ring. Then they broke the clinch. The door shut. "Bang," Jesse said.